We got all these tools at our disposal. We still can't get out the gospel. Here I go, man. One thing we're not going to be able to say is, well, it was so hard. It was so hard. My air conditioner broke down. I couldn't go evangelize him. Isaiah 44. Turn to Isaiah 44. Boy, I'm excited tonight. Amen. Listen to those pages of the Bible. Oh, that's beautiful. Isaiah 44, verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last. And beside me there is no God. Is that clear to anybody in this room but me? I just want to say that to all the countries of the world. Jesus is the first and the last. Beside him there is no God. And who as I shall call and shall declare it and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people and the things that are coming and shall come, let them show unto them. Fear ye not, verse 8, neither be afraid. Have not I told you from that time and have declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. Look at that verse. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told you? Now, I'm going to give you a few scriptures here, so just bear with me. That's an Old Testament scripture. Turn to Mark chapter 13. We're just going to look at a few scriptures right here. This is good. Mark 13, 23. And this is at the conclusion of Jesus speaking of the end times, and I believe we're living in the end times. He talked about false Christ. He talked about the gospel first being preached to all the nations. And then he said this, in verse 23 of Mark 13, he said, but take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. I have told you all things. Now, John 14, verse 26, he said he's going to send the Comforter. And the Comforter is going to bring all things to your remembrance, whatever things I have told you. He said in John chapter 16, listen to this, verse 4, but these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. Now, we could spend a long time tonight pulling scriptures out of the Word of God concerning this, but this is as far as I'm going to go. And tonight's message is entitled, See, I Told You. And you're going to understand that in just a minute, but just make the word see, not the word letters S-E-E, but the word see, and then put a colon, and then put I told you. How many have ever had anyone say, I told you so? All right. For example, if you cheat, you're going to get caught. I told you. If you lie, someone's going to find out. If you play with matches, you're going to get burned. Folks, look this way. I'm warning you ahead of time. If you go home tonight and eat a 1-pound bag of M&Ms with peanuts, you're going to have a hard time sleeping. Because you're going to be wired. I told you. The Bible says, I told you concerning sin. In Numbers 32, 23, it says, sin will find you out. How many have ever had your sin chase up on you? Hey, sin is a tattletale. Sin is a tattletale. It will tell on you. Maybe you're here tonight or listening at home and someone's told you about a bad investment, but you went ahead and did it anyway. I traveled a lot. I've traveled the world, and we just traveled El Al Airlines, which is Israeli Airlines, and I have never been through. Those of you with El Al, my hat's off to you. And I tell you what, you guys are strict when it comes to travel. And part of our team was even strip searched. Because they're so incredibly fine-tuned, and that's why they've had no accidents with their airlines concerning terrorism. And but I'm warning you ahead of time, if you ever go to an airport and you make some stupid remark, like a man that I heard who was part of a major orchestra, and he was carrying a violin case. And he walked up to the counter, the checkout, the belt there, and he laid the violin case on the counter, and the lady goes, "What's in the case?" And he goes, "I'm from Chicago. What do you think's in the case?" Referring to the old machine gun days of violin cases. He was whisked out of the airport, locked up for 3 days, and is never can never fly on that airlines again just for that remark. Now, I'm warning you, don't make stupid jokes. Don't get on the airlines and go, "Well, hope there ain't no bomb in here." Don't pull out a little sweet and low and go, "Oh, it looks like anthrax." I'm warning you, friend. They'll pull you off the plane, lock you up, and ask questions later. I told you so. We've all heard it before. Early on in my Christian life, I learned that God was omnipresent. That means He's everywhere. That God was omnipotent. And folks, let me back up with that omnipresent. How many have ever seen the eye of God? If you look at the little pyramid on the back of a $1 bill, you'll see at the very top, the Illuminati put that up there, whatever that story is. But there's a little eyeball, okay? And you know, there is an eye watching you. I don't know if it's a Cyclops type of eye, but there is an eye. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. Bubba, He knows what you did with that girl last night. He's omnipotent. That means He's all-powerful. He's omniscient. Omniscient, that means He's all-knowing. He is the Alpha and Omega. He knows everything. Everybody say, "He knows everything." He's already lived in your tomorrows. He knows the outcome of every situation before it ever happens. Folks, listen, doesn't it make sense, logically, to trust someone who's already been there? He's all-knowing. And this was a constant battle with Jesus Christ among His disciples. His heavenly Father had revealed a vast amount of critical information concerning their future and the future of the world. He spoke prophetically. He warned with unwavering certainty. Like modern-day Christians, the disciples of old failed to take to heart the gravity of His words. Jesus would say, "You remember what I'm telling you today when you pass through your trials tomorrow. See, I told you." Now, I want to bring out a C so y'all will remember this message. Okay, Charlie, bring that out to me if you would. If you're taking notes, this is going to be an easy one tonight. I brought a big C, okay? Okay, this is Sesame Street. Okay. What letter is this?
C.
How about over here?
C.
Shout it out, everyone at home.
C.
Okay. Everybody stand back up. Stand back up. Stretch. Slap your face. Sit back down. See, now let's try that again. Shout it out, everybody here.
Sing.
Everyone over here.
Sing.
Everyone at home.
Sing.
That's hard to believe, isn't it? Is that hard to believe? That's hard for me to believe. Some folks just live on the moon. But I'm going to talk about a few things that we go through tonight. And those of you that were not saved, I hope you're saved by now, after me praying with you a few minutes ago and here in Mercy Seat. But at the end of this broadcast, we'll have another opportunity to pray together. And also, you can call that number on the screen anytime during the broadcast, and we will pray with you personally over the phone. Just keep dialing. If it's busy, don't worry about it. I want to tell you some I told you so's. I told you, according to the Word of God, that there would be times of intense spiritual combat. Everyone say combat. Now that's a C word. See, I told you. I told you there'd be times of intense combat. We read the words of Jesus to His disciples. We've only touched the many prophetic utterances that were spoken with the intention of preparing them for the future. And as I was preparing this message, I was reminded of people that come up to me with this shocked look on their face because they're going through some stuff. That is as ridiculous as a warrior going from the United States, from Fort Hood to Iraq, and then getting to Iraq, getting to Baghdad and go, "Hey, wait a minute, man. These are real bullets." They told them they were going to be real bullets. They told them there was going to be bombs. We should not be surprised that there are suicide bombers. We should not be surprised because terrorists will do anything. They have no morals. They will do anything to kill folks. And we were warned about that ahead of time. Well, let's look biblically, friends, spiritually. Jesus warned us that we would go through some stuff. Is anybody here going through anything? I hope so. Because if you're not facing any battles, if you're not going through nothing, you're worthless. The most boring people I know are people that never have trials, okay? They just sit isolated in an incubator all their lives. I like to be around people that have been beat up a little bit. You know, got a few bullet holes in them, you know. Little fiery dart holes everywhere. They've gone through some stuff. And you may have heard me say this before, friend, but I say it a lot because people go through trials. And if you don't go through trials, if you don't go through a trial, could you imagine how boring you're going to be when you get older? Think about this. Say you're a granddad one day. Who is going to want to sit on your lap if you ain't got nothing to talk about? Your biggest trial was when you were at Baskin Robbins trying to decide on what flavor. Peter said in 1 Peter 1, verse 6, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire." Fire's hot. You're going to go through some stuff. There's going to be some combat. There's going to be some warfare. Isaiah 43, I like this, verse 2. "When you pass through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they should..." Doesn't say if. You're going to pass through some waters, honey. "And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you." When you walk through the fire, "you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you." Why on earth did God give us Ephesians chapter 6? "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day." Verse 16, "Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." There's going to be combat. And for those of you that have given your lives to Christ on this broadcast tonight, it ain't gonna be easy. Man, if you're around preachers that tell you it's gonna be a cakewalk, they don't know what they're talking about. It's the last thing I need to be preaching right now. I just got back from Israel. I want to tell you, friend, you talk about suffering. The people that have gone on before us, the people that wrote this book, Paul said to Timothy, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." I told you, Jesus said you would go through some stuff. Why is it a surprise to you? I want to tell you what I expect. I expect constant battles. I enjoy a little reprieve. I enjoy a little calmness in my life. But my life is pretty much from trial to trial. Is anybody here with me? I catch my breath, and then something else comes up. Okay? And there's always something to pray about. And I used to go to Leonard Ravenhill. You remember this, Sonny James, a dear friend, Sonny and Margie. I'd go up to Leonard and I'd say, "Brother Len, pray for me, man. I'm really under the gun, man. I'm really feeling the pressure of these crusades, and I'm really going through some warfare right now." He goes, "I ain't gonna pray for you." He goes, "I've been praying that God would put that on you." He said, "I'm not gonna pray that God takes that off of you." It's trying to make you a soldier. Trying to get some muscles. Those of you that are in the Bible school here, anybody from the Bible school? Hey, let me tell you. Where's that camera? Give me a camera, any camera. Light one up. Okay, if you're a do-nothing, waste-your-life type of person, you're going to be held accountable with what you do with your life. If you're just sitting on a couch, sitting on a chair, working at Mickey D's or something, that's all you want to do in life, and there's nothing wrong with making a little money out there, but friend, you need to have some type of ambition. And why don't you take a year off and come to BRSM, the Bible school? Plug into the school. Hey, you want to have a war on your hands? Sign up for the school. You'll get a war. I remember the first time Jerry and I decided to be missionaries. When we decided to be missionaries, I mean, that God spoke to us and said He wants us to be missionaries, I remember the battles. I mean, suddenly Satan goes, "Whoa, whoa, 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 son. What you think you're doing? You go preach the gospel somewhere?" Yeah. Man, battles started coming left and right. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You start stepping out for God. John Berridge said this years ago back in the 1600s. "The Christian never falls asleep in the fire or in the water, but grows drowsy in the sunshine." The Christian never falls asleep in the fire or in the water, but grows drowsy in the sunshine. I just want to bask in His love. He'll let you do that for a little while, friend. But He's going to walk up to you and go, "Okay, enough of the basking. Pick up your gun. Pick up your sword. This is war." Not only will you go through combat, but I told you there would be times of oppressive confusion. Has anyone ever been confused? Confusion is a C word for you English teachers out there. I know you know that, but for everybody else, confusion. Everyone say confusion. Confusion. Now, I'm not going to divide the audience up with that word, because I tell you, y'all blew it on combat. No telling what you'll do with confusion. We all know that God is not the author of confusion. 1 Corinthians 14:33, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints." However, the Bible says in James 1, verse 5, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberty and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed." That's driven, the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. That's confusion. Some of you are confused about your tomorrows. You're confused about what you should do with your life. You need to get on your face. Those times are going to come where you don't know exactly what to do. Has anyone ever been there? I remember when I was in Bible school, about to graduate, everyone else knew where they were going to go work. And I didn't know. And I had about 7 opportunities of what I could do with my life, and I was confused. And I remember these 7 invitations. One of them was a teen challenge center here in the South. Another one was the director of the teen challenge center in Hawaii. I think that was in the front. By the way, don't ever pick a place because of its climate, Listen to me, friend. I find people that do this all the time. They want to go where, and then they fill in the blank. If there's people, then regardless of the kind that God's calling you there, okay? If there's people, go into all the world and preach the gospel. But I remember laying those seven opportunities in front of me, and I didn't know what to do, and I began to cry. It was very serious, 2 weeks to graduation. And I went to one of the directors of the school, and I asked him, I said, what should I do? And he said, Steve, are you living for Jesus? I said, yeah. He said, are you holy? I said, yeah. He said, are you saved? I went, yeah. He said, you got sin in your life? I said, no. He said, you've been praying every day? I said, yeah. He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to spread those things out on your table, and I want you to pick one. Just pick one. Regardless of which one you pick, you're going to be right in the middle of the will of God. Boy, some of you looking at me. I want to tell you, if you'd quit being so spiritual, you'd get a whole lot more done for God. Because while you're on your knees praying for 5 years on what God wants you to do, you could have planted 5 churches. Hey, I lived in Argentina, and we were planting churches as fast as we could plant churches. And one man decided, he goes, I asked him, I said, where are you going to plant churches? He goes on Ruta Siete, which was a highway. He said, I'm just going to get on the front of the road, and every single city on the whole highway, I'm going to plant a church. And I asked him, I said, did you hear from God? He goes, no, I didn't hear from God, but they need churches all the way down that highway. Pick a highway. Just pick one. The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. You're not going to have confusion in those situations. You're going to have confusion in your house. The Bible says in Matthew 10:35, for I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Don't be surprised. Jesus told you. Man, when I got on fire for God, I had members of my family turn against me. It was confusing to me. I thought they would be thrilled, John Michael, but they didn't like what was going on in my life. I was becoming too righteous, too holy. Confusion. How many know what I'm talking about with that one? Well, look at the hands. Some of you at home, you know exactly what I'm saying. A lady came up to me the other day at Heartland, and she's going through the same thing. Because a member of her family didn't believe in the Christian religion and in Christianity. And boy, she said, it's just so hard. It's so hard at home. She said, it's just so hard because there's a battle. And before there wasn't a battle, but now there's a battle. Welcome to what he told you. There's going to be confusion over false teachers. Jesus said, he told us in Mark 13:21, that if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there. This is one of our texts. Believe it not. For false Christs and false prophets might come. They shall come. And they'll show signs and wonders and seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. And this was our text tonight. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. Christians blow me away, man, how surprised they are by things that are going around. I'm going, it's in the Bible. It's all in the Bible. Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:1, this know that in the last days perilous times shall come. People having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. I want to tell you, at our church at Heartland in Dallas, we are so careful. Because, see, I live prophetically. The Bible tells me what's going to happen in the future. Okay? He tells me. The Lord told me what's going to happen in the future. He's told me about what's going to happen in that city. He's going to tell me how many people are going to get saved and what things are going to happen. But he also told me that false teachers are going to come in. And if you come into our church at Heartland, and in our bulletin, you're going to read something. And it says this. We believe in the spiritual gifts. Okay? And then I go a little bit further. However, Heartland is a new church, and we do not know intimately those people that are attending. Therefore, if you operate in the gift of prophecy, comma, etc., please come and speak to the pastoral staff before operating in that gift. You know what I'm doing? I'm pastoring the church. That's how you pastor a church. Because loonies come in from all over the world. You don't know their lives. And some false prophet could rise up and speak some poisonous word in the congregation. And there's so many pastors around this nation don't have the sense to nip it. And I mean, even, sir, if you've got to cut it off as it's going on, cut it off and protect your flock. And one of the criteria is they've got to come and they've got to come meet the pastoral staff. And then they have to sit under the ministry of our staff for 6 months. And after 6 months, we will let or not let them operate in a spiritual gift. And most people will leave the church. They'll leave the church because they can't stand stuff like that. They can't stand to have someone over them. But that's where a lot of the confusion comes. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." I'm just sharing with you, friend, God told us there would be times of confusion. No telling what's on the slate, what the devil has planned over the days and weeks and months ahead. He also told us there would be times of criticism. Everyone say criticism. Oh, my friend, times of criticism. Turn to your neighbor and say, "You look good tonight." Okay, you want to know what that was? That was not criticism. Now, if I said, turn to your neighbor and look at them in the face and then go like this and say, "You're about the ugliest person I've ever seen in my life." That's criticism. But don't do that. But Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." I send you as sheep in the midst of wolves. Jesus said in John 15, 18, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." And you can read in Matthew chapter 12, verse 24, they called Jesus demon-possessed. But some of you can't handle 2 seconds of criticism. You belly up like a dead fish. I'm ashamed of you. I mean it. You know why? I mean, I compare you. Look at politicians. Politicians decide to run for governor, run for senator, run for president, and they sit under a microscope for 2 years. And every skeleton and everything that wasn't a skeleton is brought out to the front. And they are criticized. Their kids are criticized. Their children are made fun of. And yet they still go on. They're amazing to me. They amaze me. A Christian, you call them a name, you cuss them out or something, and they just, I can't evangelize anymore. They call me a name. They call Jesus demon-possessed. Thank God they're calling you a name. A movie actor. Man, they'll be flying high. Best movie, best movie, best movie, best movie, best movie. And then they'll have a flop. And I mean, they're criticized right and left, and you'll hear it in the news. Their days are done, man. Their prime of life is over. They're never going to be successful again. And you know, that was back then. This is now. And you'll watch those movie stars just keep trucking, man. But Christians, I tell you, it embarrasses me. It embarrasses me. Some of you are embarrassed by the name Jesus. Everybody say Jesus.
Jesus.
Hey. You're afraid to pray in a restaurant. Now, you don't have to be obnoxious about it, but you better pray in them restaurants, friend. Look at that grub. Don't say rub-a-dub-dub. Thanks for the grub. Don't do that. Look at that food and say, Jesus. Now, some of y'all go overboard, okay? You embarrass me, okay? You go, you lay your hands on the quarter pounder and... And you go, Jesus, if there be anyone in this restaurant that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, touch them before I eat this Big Mac. But you better start praying over your food, and you better start lifting up the name of Jesus. Say, thank you, Lord, for this food. Thank you for providing it. Lord, I bless you. You're going to get criticized. If you're going to do anything for God, you're going to get criticized. He told you. The Bible says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3:12. Now, I know I'm speaking to a lot of church folks right now. A lot of folks at home are watching this. But I'm also preparing some of you that are coming to the Lord. Get ready. Let me tell you something, Bubba. If you're sitting right there in your living room and there's a Bubba to your right and a Bubba to your left, y'all got a shotgun on the back windshield and got beer cans all over you, and you got this and you're left. The moment you get saved, when you give your life to Jesus, don't expect Bubba right and Bubba left to get saved too. They're liable to turn and you go, what do you mean, man? You ain't going to drink with us no more, man? Will you quit smoking, man? They're going to start criticizing you. Welcome to a walk with Jesus. It's awesome. When you receive Christ as Savior, you become a new creature. Old things pass away, behold, all things become new. And when I became a Christian, not one of my friends, I did not have to get rid of none of them. They all got rid of me. I used to cuss around them. Now I'd go, Jesus. Spook them. Friend, you go to the party toting this book and saying, hallelujah, glory to God. I love you, Jesus. Bless the Lord. Hey, you want a toke of this deep? No, hallelujah. Bless God. I want to pray for you now. Sweet Jesus. You ain't going to have a whole lot of worldly friends. Anybody a fanatic in here? I would rather be around an extreme fanatic than some of these cold, icy. You know what I'm talking about. I remember taking a group of Christians, young people, to Atlanta to evangelize. And we went to the darkest area of the city. I'm talking about warlords. Around that place. I mean, gangs and stuff. And I told my youth group, and I said, listen, guys, this place is dangerous. All right? Show tact. Okay? Be very careful how you evangelize. Because these guys got guns and knives, and they're on drugs. They don't like us. So evangelize, but use wisdom. So I said, okay, let's pray. And we all held hands. We prayed. I said, okay, let's go out and come back in 30 minutes, okay? Here comes this gang walking towards us. This kid steps out from my youth group,
walks up to him like this. He goes, "Hey, you, get saved." I said, Jimmy, come here. Tone it down just a tad there, buddy. But I'd rather be around a Jimmy like that than someone who'll never share the gospel. I told you there would also be times that you'd be the recipient of chastisement from your loving Heavenly Father. Everyone say, "My loving Heavenly Father." Now remember what the Bible says. Hebrews 12:5 says this, "And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children, My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chasteneth, and he scourges every son whom he receives." If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. "For what son is he whom the father chastens not?" Friend, if you are going to be a son or a child of God, you're going to get a whipping every now and then. You're not perfect. So God's going to whip you. He's going to give you a spanking. Abraham Wright said this, "We can feel God's hand upon us when He strikes us as well as when He strokes us." Anybody ever gotten a whipping from God? Every time you sin just a little bit, you get a whipping. Okay? Anybody ever gotten a big spanking from God? You know what God says sometimes? He says, "Son, go out in the back and get yourself a switch." So we go out there and we get out something like this, okay? Just this is it, man. We bring it back to God. We go, "Jesus, I'm sorry." We go, "Oh, oh." How many remember the days of spankings? How many remember the days of spankings in school? Some of y'all can't raise your hand. I want to tell you, you mess up. When I went to school, they go, "Steve Hill, what'd you say?" "Nothing." "Yeah, you did. That was your voice. Stand up. Come up here. Stick out your hand. In front of everybody, you stick out your hand." They'd beat the tar out of your hand with a ruler. Anybody ever had that done to you? Look at all them hands. We ought to form some type of brotherhood. It hurt. And then, this ain't got nothing to do with the message, but then they'd say, "Go stand up against the blackboard in front of everybody. Okay, put your toes up against the blackboard. Stand up as high as you can. Okay, draw a circle. Stick your nose in." And you'd have to stand on your toes. Anybody ever have to do that? Look around, folks. That's another brotherhood. But sometimes God's going to give you a whipping, friend. He's going to chastise you. Don't despise the chastening of the Lord. You know how some of His chastising works? Sometimes you just go through a season where you don't feel His presence. Anybody ever gone through those times? Now, that can happen for all different reasons, friends, but sometimes it's to get you back in line. To get you back in line. You realize, man, I haven't been spending time with God. I don't feel Him at all. And God's going, "Whoosh, whoosh." If you want to live under My shadow, son, you're going to have to be close to Me. You're going to have to be close. Now get over here, son. Quit wandering around. Well, He told us there'd be times we'd need supernatural comfort. Many of you know I lost my mom just a few weeks ago, and I sure needed that. It said in John 14:1, let not your hearts be troubled. See, this is C, I told you, comfort. You believe in God, believe also in me. John 14:16, I pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you. John 14:18, I will not leave you comfortless. Whatever you're going through at home, he's not going to leave you alone. Peace I leave with you, John 14:27. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. 2 Corinthians 1:4, who comforts us in all our tribulations. Why? So we can comfort others down the road. Comfort. I'm going to close with this last one here. We could go on and on tonight. I just love this stuff, friend. But this is, I guess what I'm after is for people to just move on. You know, just look at this stuff. Jesus said it's going to happen. Things are going to happen. You're going to need these things. You're going to go through some stuff, especially the stuff about warfare, combat. Why on earth are you surprised that you're going through stuff? But the last one I want to talk to you about tonight, I told you, and this is a shout and hallelujah one, so you can stand to your feet on this one. Everybody stand up. Get ready to shout. All right, you ready? Because listen to all these negative things I've been talking about, okay? Just really, some of y'all just about slide out of your seat in depression. Combat. Yay, combat. Confusion. I told you there'd be confusion, okay? Then I said criticism, told you there'd be times of criticism, and then chastisement, whoopee, man, chastisement, there's going to be times of chastisement, told you there'd be times you'd need comfort, but let me tell you what he also told us. He told us that we would not lose, but we would be more than conquerors. Glory! Shall separate us from the love of Christ, Romans 8. Shall tribulation or distress or persecutions or famine or nakedness or peril or sword. Hey, those are some of the things I've been talking about. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Glory. Lindell, if you join me on this piano. Remain standing, everybody. I want to speak just for a moment to those that are watching at home. Everyone else, just stay steady. I told you I was going to pray with you one more time. I wish there was a way that I could sit down with you. See, I'm a people person. My congregation at Heartland in Dallas, Texas know that. They know I'm a people person. I spend time with people. I love people. And I'd love to talk to you further about the things of Christ. But the best I can do is pray with you right now and then have you call the line. If you call the phone line, we'll pray with you more. Regardless of what you're going through, and I don't say that lightly, I know it's heavy what you're going through, but whatever it is, I want to tell you that Jesus loves you. He has a great plan for your life. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. There's so many promises in the Word of God, but first of all, you got to come clean. And what I want to do is pray with you. See, sin separates you from God. Now, if you're watching from Bangladesh, if you're watching from India, we have people watching this broadcast from all over the world. You can be in Ohio. You can be on Ontario. You can be in Canada. You can be in Israel. Regardless of where you are, Jesus Christ is there in your room with you. He loves you, and he's reaching out to you right now. And I want you to pray with me. You're going to ask Jesus Christ to forgive you. See, he came to take away your sin. and sin separates us from God. 2,000 years ago, he shed his blood on Calvary. He hung on a cross. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. John the Baptist said about Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." He's the only one that can forgive you. And I want you to pray with me. I'm going to get on my knees right now. I want you to pray with me right now. Pray out loud at home. Say, "Dear Jesus," everyone pray here. "Dear Jesus, thank you for your presence. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Jesus, for not leaving me alone. I ask you today to forgive me. I have sinned. I'm sorry. Wash me, Jesus. I repent. Be my Savior. Be my Lord and my very best friend. From this moment on, in Jesus' name, amen." Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand. Now here's what I want you to do. I want you to get all the sin out of your life. Everyone here, listen to these. Get all the sin out of your life. That means go through your house and get rid of the sin. Pour the alcohol out. Get rid of the drugs. Get the sin out of your life. Burn the pornography. Get rid of it. Another thing that you need to do is need to get into the Bible. You got a Bible laying around somewhere. If you don't, I want you to call that number on the screen. We'll get you a Bible. And go through the book. Don't just go through it. Let it go through you. That means read the Bible slowly. Pray every day. And get plugged into a local church. If you don't know where to go to church, contact us. You can contact heartlanddfw.org and we'll let you know. We'll find a church for you wherever you live. I've done that to people from all over the world. People write me and call me from all over the world, and I find churches for them wherever they live, and get baptized. Baptism is not an option, it's a command. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's give the Lord praise tonight. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Friends, that is, I wish I could share with you some of the things that I've learned over the years. The people that watch the broadcast, I know how the Lord's going to turn the soil in these last days. I know how he's going to do it. Because we were driving yesterday through the deserts of Israel where Jesus went through his temptation. Okay? And I mean, it looks just like it did back in those days. It's incredible. And there was Bedouins, shepherds. It's just fascinating. I mean, they're sitting in there. They may not have anything else, but they're going. It's amazing to me. From the dirt poor to the filthy rich, it goes inside their home when we can. But listen to some of these promises, and I'm going to close with this. For those of us that are conquerors, any conquerors here? Hey, we're just a bunch of winners. That's all we are. Just a bunch of winners. We're going to eat of the tree of life, Revelation 2:7. We're going to be clothed in white raiment, Revelation 3:5. We're going to be pillars in the temple of God, Revelation 3:12. We're going to sit with Christ in his throne, Revelation 3:21. We're going to have power over the nations, Revelation 2:26. We're going to inherit all things, Revelation 21:7. We're going to be confessed by Christ before God the Father. Just the list goes on and on what awaits us as conquerors. What a privilege. What a privilege. I want those of you with the chairs to move them to the left and the right, if you would. Lyndall, do you mind if we use Charity again tonight? Charity, are you still here? Come on down again. There are people here tonight. Just come join me on the platform, Charity, when make sure that sound man, you're ready with that CD. Everyone standing, if you would, everyone standing. There's people here tonight that you're away from God. You know you're doing things that Jesus would never do. And it would be a mistake for me not to do what I'm about to do. I'd be held accountable. Matter of fact, you saw the little chastisement. If I did not give an altar call, and I give an altar call everywhere I go, everywhere. Everywhere. If I did not give people the opportunity to repent of their sins, I'd be taken to the woodshed by God. Because that's part of my calling. That's part of my calling. And I have people at Heartland, and we're off the air right now, but I want to just share this with you. But I have people at Heartland, they fill up an entire row with friends that are unsaved. Entire row. And they're just sitting there waiting for a pastor to get to the end of his message. Regardless of what I preach on, they can't wait to the end because they know at the end, I'm going to go for their souls. And I tell them the same thing I'm saying to you. It would be a shame for you to get in your car and drive out of this place, drive off this sacred property without getting right with God. And it's a horrible feeling to sit in a restaurant somewhere or lay on your bed tonight wishing you had come forward, but you lost the opportunity. Now listen up in the balcony, those of you on this main floor. Charity's going to sing Mercy Seat in just a minute. And there's people here, you're doing things that Jesus would never do. Did you guys by chance bring those shackles tonight? I'm going to use these tonight. These are from the Civil War. They speak of bondage. And there's some people here, you're supposed to come forward, but the devil has got you shackled. He's put these around your legs and he's whispering in your ear. He's saying this. You don't need to go down there. If you go down there, what will people think? They think you're right with God. Folks, first of all, people are not thinking about you all the time. Okay? You got a real ego problem if you think people live thinking about you. Okay? People don't sit there analyzing you all the time. People are analyzing themselves. Okay? Anytime you step out, all they're going to be doing is thinking about them. They're going to be thinking about themselves. They're going to be thinking, is there something in my life that's not right? So you need to turn to the devil and say, devil, I don't care what people think. I care what God thinks. That's really what matters. I'm at that place in my life. I'm 49 years old, and it makes absolutely no difference. Lindell, you've heard me say this before. I don't care what anybody thinks about Steve Hill anymore. You can hate me, you can love me. It just doesn't matter. You know, it just doesn't matter. You can formulate opinions. You know, I logged onto a website the other day and it was some cult watching group out there and they were slamming my church in Dallas. They said of my cultic type teachings and we do not recommend this church, stay away from this man. And I was reading that. And that was like water off a duck's back. I look at that kind of stuff and I go, glory to God. You know. They were saying. And it was a beautiful website. Beautiful, well done website. But I mean, they were mixing me up with. It was something else. They were saying, stay away from his church. False teaching. But I'm in a place, friend, it doesn't matter what anybody thinks. You know. You've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And you know that there's been fruit by the millions. And we've seen it around the world, friend. No telling how many people have been saved over the years by the clear-cut preaching of the Word of God. And so, doesn't matter what people think. What does God think? What does God think? Well, the devil will say to you tonight, he'll say, you know, the preacher's right, but why don't you go home and pray? You don't need to pray here. Go home and pray. This is a private thing. This is something you need to do on your own. No, friend, this is a public thing. Okay, this is a public thing. You need to get right with God right now. The devil wants to get you away from this atmosphere. If he can get you away from charity and the song Mercy Seat and get you out this door, he'll get you off somewhere and he'll cool you down. He'll cool you off. But right now, what I want to do is bind the devil. When I bind the devil, those shackles that are around your legs are going to pop open just like that. When they pop open, you're going to have a split second to step out and come down if you need forgiveness. If you don't come down, and you know you're supposed to, those shackles are going to close back over your legs, and you might as well turn to the devil and say, Devil, I don't want Jesus tonight. And you turn to Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm leaving out of here with the sin I came in with. I don't want you tonight. Now, you can think that's hardcore. That's not hardcore. That's soft. That's not hardcore. Jesus came preaching repentance. And he'll spew you out of his mouth if you're lukewarm. He's looking for people that are white hot. There's no room for sin in a Christian. And so I'm going to bind the devil. When I bind him, as soon as I finish binding him, charity's going to sing Mercy Seat. If you need forgiveness, you're going to step out as quickly as you can. Don't hesitate. In the balcony, if you need forgiveness down here on the main floor, if you need to get right with God, maybe you've never known the Lord, or maybe you're backslidden. I don't know what it is. But if you need forgiveness, you're going to come as quickly as you can. Don't hesitate tonight. Satan, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Loose him and let him go. Loose her and let her go. Now hurry right now. Hurry right now. Hurry. 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 Hurry if you need forgiveness. Come on right now. If you need forgiveness, hurry. Come and kneel at this altar. Come on right now. Come and kneel at the altar. Just kneel at the altar. Hurry. 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 In the balcony, let's go. If you need forgiveness, step out right now.
To the mercy seat. I'm running to the mercy seat.
We bless you, Lord. Everyone at the altar, keep your heads bowed. Everyone at the altar, keep your heads bowed. Eyes closed. Anybody else? We're going to give you 10 seconds. You know you're supposed to be down here. Intercessors, pray. 9. You know you're supposed to be down here. 8. 7. Come on. You know you're supposed to be down here. Come on. 6. 5. Hurry. Shake the devil off of you, man. Shake him off of you. Hurry. Boy, there's somebody I can feel it. Your heart's just beating out of your chest. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. You need forgiveness. Come on. Come on, come and kneel. We're going to pray. Don't miss this prayer down here. Anybody else? Anybody else? Come on. Anybody else? Those of you that just came down, next time you got to get right with God for any reason at all, you'll be some of the first ones to come. Don't ever wait that long. Don't ever wait that long. Everyone at the altar, bow your heads. Pray with me out loud. Don't mumble this prayer. Pray out loud. Dear Jesus, thank you for your presence. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Jesus, for not giving up on me. I ask you now to forgive me. I have sinned. I'm sorry. Wash me. I repent of my sins. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. My very best friend. From this moment on, I am yours and you are mine. Come live your life through me. I give myself to you. In your precious name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give him praise.
When you hear joy to the world, I want you to cry. The Lord has come. Joy to the world! Joy to the world! When we sing, "Oh, come all ye faithful," I want you to feel that because you've become faithful to the Lord. Friend, Christmas is going to be different this year for you. You're going to even find yourself preaching to people. You're going to say, when you're giving out gifts and all, you're going to say, "Well, the greatest gift is Jesus. Jesus is the reason for the season." You're going to say things like that this year. It's going to be wonderful, but you're not down here yet. You need to get down here right now.
Come on. A fountain.
Come on. Ask your neighbor if you want to come with you. We're going to pray with these guys in just a second, friend. And I want to tell you, I care about you out there. I care about you. You need to thank God. You need to thank God you're in this place. If somebody drugged you in here, you need to thank God for that person. But some of you here are so unsure of your salvation. If the Lord came back tonight, and He's going to come back like a thief in the night. I was a thief, and I know what that means. Suddenly, unaware, you can be sleeping. You can be sleeping. I've gone right into a room where someone was sleeping and stolen from their room. The Lord's going to come back and you're not going to know it. But you don't know God. You don't know the Lord. Friend, you need to know God. You need to know the Lord tonight. You can be intimate with Jesus Christ. I sense in my spirit there's a man, you're in your mid-40s. You've got dark hair. God is speaking to your heart right now. I feel you right here, man. God's dealing with you. You know without a doubt that you're supposed to be down here asking Jesus Christ to change you. There's also a man named Mike in this room. God's dealing with your heart right now, Mike. And you're supposed to be down here. Mike, it's not you. It's not this one right here. But there's a Mike. You came into this place, and God is dealing with your heart, Mike. And you're supposed to be down here because you've allowed something to creep into your life. You've allowed something to creep in your life and it's stealing. It's eating away at your life. You're away from God right now. You know you are. I want you to respond to the Lord right now. Get up and come right now. Sir, get up and come right now. Ma'am, come on right now. God's dealing with your heart. You need to get down here right now. Come on, I need the Lord. I need the Lord. Come on right now. Come on, I need the Lord right now. Come on, come on. Be honest, man. Come on, come on. Sing it one more time through. Come on. Come on.
There is a Christ. Yeah.
Come on.
There
is a Christ. Let's go. Come on. In the balcony. Let's go. We need the Lord.
Thank you.
that the altar just stay right where you're at. Everyone in this congregation, I don't want anyone here to lie. Don't anybody in this place lie. Don't you lie. You want to talk about something bad to do in church? That's lie. Don't lie. The presence of the Lord is in this place. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. But I want everyone in this place to turn to the person to your left and your right. Don't grieve this yet. And you ask them this question. I don't care if it's a perfect stranger. You ask them this question. Are you absolutely sure that if Jesus came back tonight, you would go with him? You ask them that question. You ask them. Do you need forgiveness tonight? Do you need forgiveness? I want everyone in this place to stand except the folks down here. Everybody stand. I'm doing this for you, friend, because some of you, this is all you need, is someone to put their arm around you and come down here with you. If they're not sure about their salvation, if they're not sure if the Lord came back, that they'd go with them, if they need forgiveness, then you bring them down here right now. And sir, don't you lie, ma'am, don't you lie. Don't you sit there and say, everything's fine. Because you're going to feel like a dog when you walk out of this place. You're going to feel horrible. Because you lied to somebody in here over something that was so important. You lied about it like it was just nothing. You're going to feel terrible. Don't you lie. You say, listen, I do need forgiveness. I need Jesus to wash me. I don't know if he came back that I would go home with him. And then come down here. You bring him down here right now. Ask the neighbor. Ask your friend and bring him down.
Oh, the blood of Jesus.
Bring him down.
Yeah.
children. Get over here right now. You said that to your kids. I said, now. And they walk off and do something else. You say, Jimmy, I said, get over here now. And in direct disobedience, how do you feel as a father? How do you feel as a mother? How do you think your Heavenly Father feels? When He woos you, He calls you, and He says, I'm speaking to you now. I'm trying to talk to you now. And you do this, you do this, you try to change the subject. He said, I love you, I want to talk to you now. It's a simple illustration, but it's true. Where your Father is, your Heavenly Father is the same one. You still have a chance right now. I want you to come on down here right now. I love you, friend. I love you so much. You know you're supposed to be down here. Get down here right now. Step out. There is somebody in here. Your heart's beating 90 miles an hour. Natural minds and let them understand the things of the Spirit. You come down and let your spirit man take over. Amen. Let's pray down here at the altar. Those of you at the altar, I want you to bow your heads, close your eyes. We're going to all come to Jesus. Some of you are just backsliders coming back to the Lord. Many of you, I can tell from your eyes that this is the first time you've come to know the Lord as your Savior. Thank you, first of all, for coming tonight. That was the wisest thing you've ever done. Now, we're going to pray together, and this is a prayer that's going to go straight to the throne room of God. If you're serious, He will hear everything you say. Right now, I want everyone at the altar to pray out loud with me. Whether you're accustomed to praying out loud or not, that doesn't matter. We're going to all do it together. You're not going to be alone. Pray out loud with me right now. Dear Jesus, thank you for speaking to my heart. Thank you for what you did 2,000 years ago. Thank you for the blood that washes my sins away, that washes me white as snow. I have sinned. I have hurt you, and I've hurt others. Forgive me, Lord. Wash me clean. Forgive me. Make me new. From this moment on, I want to serve you. I want you to be my Lord, my Savior, and my very best friend. I give myself to you 100%. From this moment on, I am yours and you are mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's praise the Lord tonight, friends. Something. I want to tell some of you folks that are standing right through here. I want every one of you to look at me. And those of you over there, I want you to listen. This is serious business tonight. You get serious with the Lord, He'll get serious with you. Some of you are going to start experiencing miracles in your life. Stuff is going to start happening. I'm talking about major kind of stuff. I'm talking about when you're doing this and you're going, Jesus, you know the position I'm in with my job, with my work. I need something to happen, Lord. And you know what He's going to start doing? He's going to start listening to you. And you're going to start seeing prayers being answered. Stuff's going to happen. Is it all going to be rosy? Uh-uh. That's not what it's all about, friend. But you're going to have somebody that's with you with your problems. You're never going to have a problem alone anymore. Everything, every problem that comes my way. Girls, I want you to look at me. You see right here. I want to tell you. Jesus, what's your name, sweetheart? Yeah. Crystal? You know that the Lord has a plan for your life. He's got a perfect plan. But there's another person out there. His name is Lucifer, Satan. He has a plan for you, and he wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy you. How old are you, about 14? You're 14? I want to tell you, he would love to kill you by the time you're 18. Satan would love to destroy you. Look at me. I work all over the United States of America in high school. I go into secular high schools, large schools, and speak to the students. And when I look out there, I see destroyed lives. I see girls and guys dating one another, and I see him with a lustful heart. All he wants is to get what he can out of her, and then drop her like a hot potato. And then the next year I come back there, and I speak to that one girl. She's in the pregnancy class, because they don't put the girls together anymore. They put them all in some side room. They're all pregnant, having their babies. That's what Satan's got. He's destroyed. He's into destroying self-esteem, your future, God's plan for your life. You follow the Lord. Tell me you promise you'll follow God. Say that. I promise. You're going to follow the Lord. You're going to follow Jesus. I love you, man. What's your name? Kevin. God's going to do something great in your life, man. I'll tell you, the best years are ahead. There's another promise in the Word. The Bible says that he will destroy, he will restore the years that the locusts have eaten. That means all the things that have happened bad in your past, all the things that have gone on, listen to me, guys, the stuff that's gone on, you know, the garbage in the past, the Lord will restore those years. He will restore those years, man. I was the black sheep of the family for years, and now I'm the one. When there's a funeral, they call me. When there's a wedding, they call me. When there's a problem, they call me. Why? He's restored the years that the locusts have eaten. Those years of just mind-boggling confusion are gone. It's over. He's healed my mind, man. He's healed my heart. He's forgiven my sins. He's got a plan for each and every one of you. I want to share that with you in this section right here, because I feel some of you are going, you know, what about tomorrow? All you have is today. All you have is today. You don't have tomorrow. When you step in tomorrow, what is it? Today. And the Bible says, give me this day my daily bread. Okay? You get up in the morning, you say, Jesus, yesterday's gone. I have no guarantee of tomorrow. Give me this day my daily bread. Feed me today, Jesus. Take care of me today. You watch. When you start living like that and quit this garbage of looking down into the future, people ask me what I'm going to do tomorrow. I go, I have no idea. We believe this revival's going on. We believe that. But do we know the future? Does anybody here know the future? Nobody knows the future. Gene Dixon does not know the future. Nobody knows the future but Jesus. So why not put your hands in his hands? Let him guide you. What's your name? Yeah, you've gone through some hard times, haven't you? I can tell that. One more hand. I can see in your eyes that you've gone through some hurt, some real serious hurt. Okay, the Lord's going to take all those hurts, the pains, the things that you've been through, he's going to use that as a solid foundation for his love. You're going to understand when other people are going through things better than a lot of others would, because you've been through some hard times. And God will use that. He's going to comfort you. He's forgiven you. You know that. Everything you've done, everything that's happened to you. I want to say something to those of you that I've never done this in any of the meetings. Y'all know this. Those of you that have been hurt in the past by somebody, some of you have been hurt big time in the past. We're going to pray a prayer right now. We've never done this in this meeting. We're going to ask the Lord to forgive that person. And you're going to forgive that person. Now, some of you just cringe when I said that because your father raped you when you were a child, or your uncle did, or your mama beat you, or your mama or your granddad said you'll never amount to anything, or something's happened to you. We've had several, not just one, several people came up and said they were abused. There was incest in the family between brothers and sisters. That's major, man. That's not minor. That's major. One girl said she hadn't talked to her brother in 20 years ever since that happened. Family, man. Can't even get together at Christmas and look each other in the eye because of that abuse. Right now, what we're going to do is we're going to forgive that person, because you're the one that's hurting, not them. You're hurting right now. God's going to have to deal with them, but you're the one hurting. You're the one carrying that pain. I speak from experience, friends. I'm married to a woman that was beaten all through her childhood. And I watched her walk up to that man, put her arms around him, and say, I love you, and I forgive you. You know what he did? Matter of fact, he cussed her out a week ago. This is fresh, friend. The but she is totally. When he cussed her out over the telephone, I watched Jerry as he was cussing her out. She pulled the phone away. You know what she said? She said, "Yeah, God loves you. He loves you. He loves you." There's not one root of bitterness, man, to the man who beat her bloody all through her childhood. Not one drop of bitterness. That's what God is going to do if you'll let the Lord just forgive right now. Everyone up here, bow your heads. We're going to all pray this together. I want everyone in this congregation to pray this prayer. Everyone on the platform. Dear Jesus, tonight, I forgive. I forgive the offenses. I forgive the offender, the one who hurt me. I forgive him. I forgive her. I cleanse my heart tonight. Wash it away. Tonight, Lord, I want to walk away from here a brand new person. I refuse to carry this any longer. Take it, Lord, in your precious name. Amen. Just Reuben, I want you to come, and everyone at the altar, I want you to listen to this man. He's going to share a few things with you. Folks in the congregation, hang loose in just a minute. How many came for prayer tonight? Raise your hand. How many believe you need prayer during the holidays? Dear God. How many need grace when you get with the rest of your family?